Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and I have spoken. Tommy sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Please tell me you got that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Let me try again. I have spoken. Come on, man.
Nope. You're going to have to give me a second to say that.
Dude, Mandalorian.
Oh, nice.
And as the short guy, I have spoken. Dude, that's the first time in like 16 years. You totally did not get my reference. No. I have spoken.
No, you need it. This is the way. That's that one I would have got.
That's what I should have got. Okay. I just really like the short dude that looks like Ed Asner for like two episodes. I love that dude because he just, I have spoken and walks off. It's fantastic.
Fair enough. Hey, that's so, good talks, though. I'm happy for you.
I knew you would be. I have joined the Disney Plus cult. Along with everybody else. And I gotta tell you, The Mandalorian is better than everything else on Disney Plus.
The Mandalorian is great.
Like, no offense to the Marvel stuff, which I'm trying to like, it's not as good as The Mandalorian. It's just not. Yeah. The Mandalorian is real good.
Yes, The Mandalorian is really good. I really liked WandaVision. We haven't watched any of whatever it is, the Captain America one. What's it called?
Right.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Something in the Winter Soldier. Yeah.
We haven't started that yet. But The Mandalorian is way better than WandaVision. I really liked WandaVision. I thought WandaVision was great. But The Mandalorian
WandaVision's
is phenomenal.
Good. Yeah. WandaVision's good. The Mandalorian's freaking nuts.
The Mandalorian is the best Star Wars thing that's come out in a long time. Everybody knows our love for The Last Jedi. And so that would be right there. But man, The Mandalorian is really good.
There's one other thing that I'm really excited about, Star Wars wise, and then we'll get to what's on the show. I'm sorry, I kind of totally just threw the intro out the window.
We can geek out about The Mandalorian.
But the other thing that you got to check out on Disney Plus, and I literally just found it. I did not know that they created a season 7 of The Clone Wars, which is the greatest Star Wars cartoon ever created.
Yeah.
And if you have not seen The Clone Wars, you need to go watch that.
Yes.
Because that's good stuff.
I need to go back and watch The Clone Wars because it's been a long time since I watched The Clone Wars.
And
it's phenomenal.
If you watch The Clone Wars, at least I feel this way. If you watch The Clone Wars, it makes episode 1 and 2 and 3 for that matter way better than they are on their own.
Oh, yeah.
Because it fills in all the gaps.
Yeah, that's all the way through The Mandalorian. It yeah, it assumes that you know a lot of stuff. I mean, you don't have to, and I think you would still get it. But if you've watched the Clone Wars, I think that's primarily it. If you watch the Clone Wars, the rest of the Mandalorian is going to make a lot more sense.
Yes. Yes. And so I have not gotten to season 7 of the Clone Wars, but I'm really excited because, and I texted you about this, and I don't think you got that either, but I got to the episode of The Mandalorian that features one of my favorite people on the planet, Katie Sackhoff, who made her name doing the reboot of Battlestar Galactica, and now she's in The Mandalorian, and I'm totally freaking, like, I'm pumped.
Yeah.
That's fair. I really enjoyed the people in The Mandalorian. I said, if you could get her, Carl Weathers, and Gus Fring,
yes,
in the same French, that's gold.
Yes.
Gold.
Yeah. Carl Weathers is great in it, too. I love Carl Weathers in The Mandalorian. It's, yeah, so good.
I love the fact that we're in a completely different setting, and Gus Fring is still Gus Fring.
Yes. He is exactly Gus Fring in The Mandalorian.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only character that guy can play. I mean, he's the same character everywhere, and it's fantastic.
It's like, great. Remember, he's going to be the main villain in the next Far Cry too. So,
yeah.
We got more Giancarlo Esposito, right? That's his name.
Right.
Yeah, we got more Gus Fring coming.
So all of that said, what's on the show this week, sir?
We got E3 news. I'm really pumped about that. So we had the kind of rumor stuff last show we did. Now we've got the confirmed stuff. And so we'll talk through what to expect from E3 this year. It's definitely happening. We have dates, so we know what we're going to be doing E4 coverage. We've got CD Projekt Red earnings report, which is fascinating on several levels. I'm really excited to break that down, which doesn't sound exciting at all. On the surface, I'm sure, but just seeing how CD Projekt Red has performed, how many people took advantage of the refunds, where it's just everything about it, I think, is really, really interesting. So we got that. Handful of other things, not huge news going on. Sony's got this crazy AI thing that I think will be interesting to talk about. An Assassin's Creed children's book, if we get there, which seems right. That's something. We are getting into a little bit that kind of pre E3 time where there's just nothing really happening in the gaming universe. Like, everything's kind of prepping for big announcements coming in a month and a half. And so there's not tons of news, but there's still, yeah, we got plenty of stuff to talk about.
So I have to say, I know you've been busy. I know you've been grading. I have done so much stuff as related to this show. I actually feel like for the last month, I've been worthy of being paid to do the show, because it's been all gaming and sister all the time. And let me just give you a small rundown. Y'all know I've been playing The Witcher. And so in the midst of playing The Witcher, I also decided that I would start The Witcher novels. And I've made it through one of those, and I'm a quarter of the way through the next one. I've finished The Witcher TV show. I've started watching The Mandalorian. I've gotten through WandaVision. Like, I've actually got some stuff done.
That's amazing.
And that basically means I have no other life other than this show, which is... Really, honestly, that's kind of what we want to do anyway.
Yeah, that's not the worst thing in the world.
Get there. Yeah. So yeah, I've had a lot of stuff going on.
That's good. I have played some of Miles Morales, which we'll talk about a little bit, but you've seen everything that I've played. That's all I've got my hands on. And funny enough, the only thing I've watched is I started rewatching Breaking Bad a while back, so you bringing up Gus Fring right in the middle of Breaking Bad at this point. So I'm all about Gus Fring right now.
The other thing that I did is that I started to watch... You've been playing Miles Morales, and I watched enough of that, And I said to myself, I need to know more. And so me being the Amazon cultist that I am, decided to pay $6 a month for Comixology, which is a company that they own.
Yep.
And I started getting Miles Morales comic books, been reading those, trying to get through some of those so I can sort of understand, you know, kind of what's going on, because it's different. It's different than the Spider-Man we grew up on. It does the thing that Homecoming does, which I hate, and the fact that they're all stupid kids. Like Genki just drives me nuts. Because I'm like, dude, it's not so bad in the game, but in the comic, I'm like, dude, you're Spider-Man's best friend. Shut up!
Right.
Shut up! He just keeps talking.
Yeah.
And they're just dumb. Dumb. All of them, and it drives me crazy. So, yeah, I've been reading that. You're like, why are you laughing at me?
That's hilarious. They're so dumb. So get off my lawn, kids.
Well, they are. They're stupid.
By the way, speaking of how old you are, you had a birthday since last time we did a show. So happy birthday officially on the show.
I did, yeah.
To get off your lawn, which is great. So.
I'm feeling older, you know. I'm feeling that old man thing coming on that I've been playing around with for the last 15 years.
Yep,
I think it's actually happening.
Yeah, I think you're solidly there.
Yeah. So, but dude, I kid you not, they are. They're dumb.
Oh yeah, they're totally dumb. You're not wrong. It's very different. Just the vibe of it, obviously, it's a different character, and so they really lean into the Miles Morales character, which I like. One of the cool things about the Spider-Man game is that he was already Spider-Man, right? Like when we started the Spider-Man game on PlayStation 4 a while back, there's no origin story to it or whatever. Like you're Spider-Man. Like this is already in this world. Like, you know, things like the enemies are all that stuff. And we love that about the original game. But I am enjoying the little bit more origin story. What's great about it is that they did the real kind of origin story stuff in the Spider-Man game for Miles Morales. So the Miles Morales game, it's not as much origin story, but he's still very, very new to this whole Spider-Man thing. And so you're getting to figure it out with him, which makes it feel better that, like, you just lost all the abilities, right? Because you're starting over a new character.
Yeah.
And so, like, it doesn't feel as like, oh, it's just a new game where I can't do all the cool stuff I used to be able to do. Miles has his own abilities, different kind of powers, you know, like all this stuff. And so it feels cohesive in that way. But like, still, you get to know Miles a little bit. Whereas like the Peter Parker side of it, it just assumed you already knew Peter, which was fine because we did. That was exactly what we wanted. But for Miles, I really want to get to know Miles a little better. And it's also doing a good job of that.
Well, and I told you the thing that I like about it is that they did a great job as a package with continuity. Like they set it up where they can pop Pete in and out, and it totally makes sense for him to pop in and out. It totally makes sense for MJ to pop in and out if she wants to. Like, they did a fantastic job.
Yes.
Of putting that together. And I really, really like it. It's really good. It's really well put together. The one complaint that I have, and it's only because they gave me 2 minutes of it and then they took it away, is the very first part of the game where he's walking through the city and he puts on his headphones and the music comes up like they did in the Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
I was like, that's tight. That's really cool. And what I really want is for them to have more of that, whether he's got it bumping in his suit or whatever he's got going on there.
Right.
I mean, they've got a whole Sony Music catalog. Don't tell me they can't do it.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, you did it for that one little piece. Now I want more.
By the way, and this is an issue for you, or really for anybody, because anybody who's watching me play Miles Morales on YouTube, God bless your soul. Like, it just, there's much better ways to watch somebody play Miles Morales. Because we're on the same YouTube channel, I doubt that you've noticed, but one of the videos actually got pulled because of copyright infringement, because of maybe that track. So for streaming purposes, it's not streaming friendly because of the copyrighted music. And so YouTube pulled it. It's still obviously in our library, so we have access to it. We just can't make it public, but you know,
right.
The joys of streaming. It's a weird thing, this world of streaming, where now like you have to go into your settings and turn off copyrighted material so your stream doesn't get pulled.
Yeah.
Wow.
It draws me crazy, because if they do the music right, that they've got me. That's the thing that got me about the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Was that immediately got me into the Spider-Verse. That was the first thing that you saw, was him trying to relax to some really good tunes.
Yeah.
And the whole bit with the record player, I totally dug.
That is,
like, I wanted to know what happened if you chose another record.
Right.
I think one of those was actually a Mariah Carey record.
Yeah. Quite possibly. Yeah, it's got a lot of potential. We're still very, very early. I'm hoping as my life is settling down a little bit, we're going to get some more time into that very soon. But I dig it. The other thing I'll mention that's a very obvious difference from just playing it compared to the original is that they use the adaptive triggers. So having been playing Spider-Man for a while now and going back to DLC on the PlayStation 5, I've been playing Spider-Man with the PlayStation 5 controller, but the Spider-Man, even the DLC, even the PS5 port, doesn't use the adaptive triggers in any way. They didn't go in and do those, but they do in Miles Morales. And so when you're just swinging, like, the triggers feed back constantly. Like, it's a very, yeah, very consistent, I don't know what you call it, but it is pushing back on you all the time.
Right.
And you can hear it, like the controller like clicks, and like you could audibly hear the controller working. It's cool. It is weird. Like some of the stuff that I've played with adaptive triggers, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is awesome. Playing Miles Morales for a little bit, I'm like, this is strange. I don't know how I like the feel of this trigger. Like, every time I hit the trigger to web sling, like, it's pushing back on me. I'm like, This is freaking me out. So I am undecided on adaptive triggers for Spider-Man thus far, but they definitely utilize them for Miles Morales.
And can I say that Miles Morales, and we knew this before we got a PlayStation 5, but there is a huge difference between what Spider-Man looks like and what Miles Morales looks like. It's a huge and noticeable step up.
Yeah. Even from the PlayStation 5 port of Spider-Man.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And when you're doing that section where you're going through the ball, like, my jaw was like on the floor.
Yeah.
And it was so fast, and they did it on purpose. It was so fast. That was probably the reason they were able to do that, but it was spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. It has me very excited for more stuff, both Miles Morales wise and just PS5 wise. It's making me want to play games all the time, and I'm struggling not being able to do that. So, more games are coming, which is the good news.
Yep.
So, All that said, before we get into anything else, big thanks to the Patreon guys, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thanks each and every one of you for continuing to support us. Of course, if you want to support us on Patreon, you can do that. Go to gaminguncensored.com and click the Become a Patron link. Over there on the side, you get access to really just watching our faces right now. That's about all we've done on Patreon recently. But E3 is coming, and there will be lots around E3. And so if you haven't subscribed to the Patreon, I've been thinking about maybe at some point, we're getting to the time where you're going to get some good good content for that. And if nothing else, we just appreciate your support. So thank you guys.
E3 is the time to do that. That's where you get your money's worth there. And I have to say thanks to all you guys, because you're paying for my niece and my sister to get into VR. They stole my headset, and every time Tommy gets an email that says I bought something, he knows it wasn't me. It's my family sucking our money. So thank you guys for doing what you do.
Absolutely.
One real quick story. They asked me to take it home, and I was like, yeah, okay. And I thought, I told Avery what the rules were, because I'm like, Tommy's gonna see if you go crazy. But like, I'm gonna know you're not going to get around me. Avery was like, I totally get it. And 2 days later, I get a call from her mother that says, hey, we found this golf game. Can we buy it? And I'm like, what are you, 12? Yeah. I just told your dad. So I had to go through the process of getting them set up, which was a total pain. We love the Oculus, not the Facebook integration right. So much. It's pretty horrible. Yeah, so,
but the good news is anything they buy, I can play here.
Fantastic.
So I need to fire it up and play some golf.
I have no idea what they bought. Yeah. I just know that my brother-in-law plays golf on a daily basis, and that's what he wanted to do in VR also. So
yep.
That was weird.
Yeah, apologies for the camera toggling on and off there. If you're watching us, my camera's probably going to do that a little bit throughout this. So I'm using the real fancy camera that we used last time, which is good and fun. It has a webcam driver, so I'm actually using it USB as a webcam. But with that, every so often, it just decides to do that little toggle off and toggle on kind of thing. So it'll probably happen again before we're done with the show. So.
Right.
I haven't figured out the interval for it. It seems kind of random, but it does that just like for a second, flips off and flips back on. You can hear the shutter open and close, and we're back to business. So whatever, here
Fantastic.
We are. Still figuring out here.
And if you can't hear me, I've been watching for the last 20 minutes. I don't think we're actually getting audio on Zencastr.
I'm recording.
So yeah,
it's there. We'll have audio one way or another. It's just low.
Okay.
But yeah, you're good.
But new technology ain't grand.
Yes, all over the place, and so fun stuff that we'll have to play with at E3. So getting into the news, let's talk about E3. We have a date or dates for E3 officially, and we know a little bit more of what it's going to look like, and that side of it is it's going to look more like it has in the past, but virtual. So the dates for it are June 12th through 15th. So kind of second week of June, as it's always been, or at least has been for the past several years. It used to be in May. Now it's in June. So same kind of window of time. It's going to be a completely virtual, completely digital show. So they've had a year at this point to really be prepping for this. And so I'm interested to see how they're doing that, specifically how the kind of E3 part of the week happens, as opposed to the publisher press conference part of the week happens. But we'll probably get more details of that soon. We don't have details of that, but we know it's going to be all digital. We know it's going to be free. It says completely free to virtually attend. So there we go on that. And we do know that they're planning for an in-person show next year. And so already looking post-COVID and getting back to in-person shows. We'll see on that one. I'm a little skeptical. We'll see how this year goes. But we know it's happening in a block of time like it used to. So last year we didn't have our E3 block of time. We did this weird E3 whole summer thing. We're going to officially have our week of E3 happening this year.
Which I'm really happy about. I got, last year wasn't bad, but I'm really happy to know that we have a solid week. And as soon as the show's over, I got to run out and make sure that that week is clear. Whatever is currently there is fixed and get moved.
Yes.
Because that's E4. So, yes. Yep.
Likewise.
Yeah.
we're blocking off some time there. So with that, we know some of who is participating and we have some of who we don't know or know aren't participating. So big companies, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, two of the three will be there again, as has been the case for the past few years. Sony is not participating directly in E3. I am sure they're going to have some kind of event around the same time. And so we'll be talking about Sony, obviously. But Sony is not an official participant of E3. Microsoft and Nintendo both are. So expect to see kind of traditional Microsoft Nintendo press conferences, of course, virtual press conferences. But in that week, in that block of time where we're used to seeing them. Likewise, Capcom, Konami, Ubisoft, Take-Two, and Warner Brothers are all confirmed to be there. Right now we don't know about EA, which EA hasn't done E3. I don't think they didn't do E3, but they still did their EA State of Play or whatever they call it, you know, right on E3's, right on the start of E3. Activision Blizzard, which hasn't been there in a while. Square Enix, who did a press conference a couple years ago. No confirmation on them yet. And so we'll see of some of those big names. But the kind of standards of Microsoft and Ubi, at least, we can expect. I would expect there will be an EA event, even if it's not officially E3. And I would be shocked if Sony doesn't do something in that week, the week prior, the week after, somewhere right in there. So it's going to be a lot of content all at once, like we're used to.
It's going to be a lot of content all at once, like we're used to. But I also think we're going to see some weirdness, especially with seeing Sony products on other platforms.
Yes.
Because we've already seen that. I think there's going to be more of that this year, which I'm excited about personally. I think it's going to be weird because I think this might be the year that you fire up a Microsoft press conference and they lead with Mario. Like, it's that kind of thing.
Can we talk about that specifically just a little bit longer? Because there's definitely something to that. So this is like internet rumor craziness stuff. But in some Xbox promo videos, people have been sleuthing around and noticing images of Switches like in the background. And realize anything Microsoft is putting out, they're not putting out like haphazardly. They are very aware of every little bit of the optics of what they're doing. And they're pretty famous about hiding stuff in the background. Phil Spencer had a Series S in the background of a whole bunch of videos before they ever even announced it. And so the fact that like a Nintendo Switch has been floating around in the background of some Microsoft stuff, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that we see like that some Nintendo Microsoft partnership, and E3 would be a heck of a time to announce that.
Hi, my name's Jamie Jordan, and did I mention we need to get paid to do this? Because we actually pay attention. that's the thing. I think it's going to be a very interesting show because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. That would be, what would that look like? Let's just speculate because we're here and talking about it. What's more likely in that relationship? Obviously, there has to be a partnership that goes both ways there. But is it more likely that we're seeing like Game Pass on Switch or we're seeing Mario on Xbox?
I think we're going to see Mario on Xbox for one very simple reason. Game Pass on Switch sounds really cool, but the Switch doesn't have storage for it. Like, there's no way that you could really do that on the Switch.
You're not wrong, but let me bring up two things that could be the solution to that problem. Thing number one is that they've already worked a lot on cloud stuff on the Switch. Like, I played a little bit of Hitman on the Switch, Hitman 3, because they had a free kind of cloud demo. Right. It's very bizarre, but they had Control on the Switch too. So they are working on cloud stuff, and we're going to talk about Xbox Cloud here in just a second, xCloud here in just a second. So that's one, that they could do Game Pass via xCloud on the Switch, and then you don't have to worry about the storage side. Two, and I think either or both of these may be pretty likely at E3, there's a Switch Pro coming. We know that. It's going to happen at some point. And so that could be the other way that you solve that problem, is by bigger Switch with more internal memory, easier, you know, whatever, to do that. And so either one of those things could fix that problem.
I if I had to put money on one thing, I'd say you're going to see Smash Brothers on the Xbox. That, to me, Smash Bros., that's an Xbox title. If you're going to pick one Nintendo title other than like Metroid and put it on the Xbox, that's it.
Do you think we see Nintendo titles on Game Pass? This is my thing. This is where I question Game Pass on the Switch, not on the tech side of it, but in how much Nintendo likes to protect their platforms. Nintendo's just famous about, you know, there's just very so little outside influence on their platform, that so much of Nintendo stuff that's great is first party, in part because they're just not as friendly to third party stuff, that it makes me question both them putting their licensed products out somewhere else and also having other products on their platform. But they have loosened to that a lot over the past few years. Obviously, seeing Mario on your iPhone is bizarre, but that's a really good example of where Nintendo went to a mobile platform and have done their games there. Why not Microsoft at that point? You know, it's all about software at this point. The hardware is becoming less and less relevant. So I don't know.
But it's sort of, it's a, to me, it's a Matrix question. It's a what version of reality am I in question? Because Nintendo's the one company out there that does not care about the money. Like, Nintendo's the one company that could be like, yeah, Microsoft, you can back up a truck, that's fine, but we don't really need that. So you're right, they're going to be different about their IPs, especially. They're going to be different about the content that is on their online service, even if it is some sort of weird integration with xCloud. They're going to be picky because they're Nintendo and that's what they do. Yep. And anything else doesn't make sense. Yep. Like, the idea of I fire up a Switch or you fire up a Switch and all of the Microsoft content is on there, it is mind-bending and stupid. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, if that happens, we better just get ready because the world's fixing to end. If all that Nintendo stuff, if all the Microsoft stuff ends up on the Switch, the world's over, because I just don't read that.
Yeah,
I've eaten crow on a lot of stuff. That ain't gonna happen.
Game Pass on the Switch would be the one of the biggest like upheavals I could think of, outside of like Microsoft just outright buying Nintendo. But Game Pass on the Switch would be such a crazy shift in the gaming world. Like, I just can't even imagine. Sony is very kind of openly toying with their own version of Game Pass. You know, like that rumor has been floating out there a lot recently, which is a no-brainer. That's obviously going to happen. Just what does it look like? And can they do anything on the level of what Microsoft has done with partnerships? I'm pretty skeptical about that. Obviously, having a Game Pass-like service that would have, you know, Naughty Dog games and God of War and that kind of stuff on it's great. But if you don't have all that other content, which... I don't know. You probably do, because like Ubisoft just gives their content to everybody, right? Like, you can't go anywhere without finding Ubisoft stuff. So I can't imagine where Ubisoft or EA or, you know, Activision wouldn't play nice with Sony on their own platform. It's really then like Bethesda, you know, does like Microsoft allow Sony access to Bethesda games? Does Sony allow Microsoft access to Naughty Dog games? That's where the like service side of it becomes interesting. You would think not, so they could keep some kind of proprietariness to their own service, but yeah, it's the games is the servicing of games, not live service games, but games as subscription model services. I would be shocked if it just in a few years, if we're even buying individual titles anymore.
Well, and I think the reason that it's happening, especially right now, the way it's happening, I want to reference something on our Facebook page posted by our buddy Sam. He apparently decided that he couldn't get either of the two things that he wanted, one being a PlayStation 5 or a 3080, and so he just went and bought a bunch of guitars. I think whatever we see, especially going into E3, is probably going to happen in large part because you can't get this hardware. Nobody can get hardware. Like, I'm not even looking at this point. Like, I'm not even trying, because unless you're here, like in my house, and we can like go somewhere at the drop of the hat, I'm not gonna find a PS5 or an Xbox because they're not out there.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Because one of the news stories, I don't even have this in the show notes, but one of the big news stories that came out over the past couple of weeks is that the PlayStation 5 is just blowing the doors off of previous console sales. It's just recording record-breaking after record-breaking milestones, and you can't find the thing. Like, it's just nuts. Right. Like, a part of that, I tweeted about this earlier in the week, one of very, very few tweets has come out on Gaming Uncensored recently. But, like, a part of that, I'm very interested to know how much a part of that's due to the kind of bot nature of scamming, you know, these online sellers. But a big, big chunk of that is just people buying the console. And yet so many people still are trying to buy the console. Like, it's bonkers that there's so many of them theoretically out there, and yet they're still so hard to come by.
Like I said, there's no point in me even trying for an Xbox or PlayStation, either one, until you're here and we can get in the car and go chase it. There's no point. And I think there's a lot of people in that space. I mean, Sam is one of the biggest hardcore gamers that we've ever had listen to this show. And he was finally like, yo, I quit. I'm going to go buy some music stuff. Which, by the way, Sam, we totally dig. We would like to sit in a room with you and play guitars and other technically cool stuff, because that's what we do on the side. But when somebody like that says I quit, that's when you know something's hard to get.
Yeah. Just to be clear, this is what I do on the side. I do that for my job, which is pretty cool. Well,
Yeah.
I don't play guitar for my job. I'm not that good at playing guitar, but I get to do all the fun recording stuff for my job, which is a good time. But that said, you're absolutely right. It's crazy that there's this sense of scarcity of something that's breaking records, but there is that like, there's still like people are going, how do I play games if I'm not getting a hold of this? Which is also crazy because there's really that new software for the PlayStation. Well, 5.
You know what? Here's the other thing I got to bring up. Other than like two games or three games, there's no reason for a new graphics card.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really, really want a 3080, but there's three games on the planet that are worth it for.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's all there is.
Yeah.
I mean,
for sure. It's wild. And yet it's still like it's gaming culture in a way, I think, you know, like there's just this sense of wanting to be on top of technology that is true for gamers in general. We are definitely a part of that culture as well. We want to be there, and thus we're able to land a PlayStation 5. Pretty pumped about that. We'll be, I imagine, playing a lot of that come E3. People looking for other options and being able to play Game Pass on a Switch would be another option that a lot of people are going to be very, very interested in if that comes to fruition. Again, that's pretty out there.
the interesting thing about the Switch is if I want a Switch, I can go buy a Switch. You can find a Switch.
Yes. 100%. That's a big difference. Sony is breaking records for, you know, the PlayStation 5 outselling any other consoles at launch, which is nuts, like legitimately nuts that is the best selling console up until this point in the history of console launches. But the Switch still outsold the PlayStation 5 last month because it costs a third as much and is readily available, even though it wasn't for a big chunk of last year. There was a lot of Switch scarcity. That's not true anymore. You can go find a Switch. And so even though that thing's been out for a long time, you can still go get one. So yeah, scarcity matters as well. One more thing I want to talk about with E3, just as we're kind of speculating of what E3 will look like this year. Obviously, like the part of E3 that we've always kind of covered and done a lot of is the press conference thing, because we're not there to experience the show floor. And so we get, you know, the hands-on, we enjoy the kind of, you know, sit downs with GameSpot or IGN or whoever it is. But this year we're not going to have it that way because there's not going to be a show floor for all those things to be happening. And so I'm wondering how the virtual format, how they're going to deal with that, and hope that there's a lot of kind of early access / demo / streams of games that typically you would only get if you're there, that they're doing online.
I'll tell you exactly what they're going to do, Rick, because I thought about this when we started the show. If they haven't already, which I'm thinking they probably have, they're going to hire Jeff Keighley, because Jeff Keighley's been doing that stuff for a year.
Yeah.
Like he did Jeff Keighley is never, ever, 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 ever from now to the end of eternity going to be without a job because he figured out a way to make gaming happen during COVID.
Yeah.
And I'd almost bet my house that he's going to pop up, during E3 helping with some of this stuff, because he's done it.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And what he has done this last year has been far and above anybody else, and everything else that you saw was totally patterned after what he did.
Yes.
And yep. So I really do. I think that's how they're going to do it. I think we're going to get access the way that we have never gotten access before, because that guy figured out how to do it.
Yeah, I think that's likely. I can't imagine Jeff Keighley not having a big role in whatever it is, either as an official ESA representative or just doing his own thing that is in conjunction with E3 and doing content. But I really want hands-on stuff that you know, we could obviously do. We have the tech to do it. You could provide, you know, streaming demos of games that in a way that you never were able to before. It will probably be a bit of a train wreck, I would imagine, if they try to do that, but I really hope they try to. I think that would be a really innovative thing. And if they do it, this is where I have a hard time seeing them getting back to any sense of a strictly in-person event. I could see a hybrid event happening where there's still kind of the fun of having a booth. But if you start doing this stuff virtual and it goes well, you're not getting away from that. I can speak from experience here in several aspects of my job. I just know that COVID has changed the way that my job looks going forward. Like anything that I do is going to have a live stream component to it from here on out. Like we're not going back to the times where like you had to be in person for everything. It's just way too darn convenient to be able to access stuff, virtually. There are things that don't work well that way, but we're going to continue to find ways to make them better. And so I just can't see E3 going back to us sitting in front of a screen completely non-interactively watching these press conferences in 2020.
Can I say to you that if that happens, you're going to have to come to my house and get me, because we're not doing that from here.
I know.
If that streaming thing happens, you're going to have to come to my house and pick me up. We're going to have to hire somebody for the week, which I'm totally willing to do, because we're not doing that from here.
Yep.
I'm really excited about that idea, because that allows us to actually look like a legitimate outlet
Yeah.
And have the access that everybody else has got. Yeah. You know,
that would be super cool. I'd be all about that for sure. So we'll see what happens there. So to make sure we get to some other stuff, we don't have much news today. Then we talk about E3 for half an hour. So a couple other things. I mentioned xCloud. Let me just briefly here bring that up because I think it's going to be something we're talking about a lot soon. Official beta testing is starting on Apple products, phones and tablets, so iPads. Through a browser, which is the same way that you access like GeForce Now. And so Apple has their own, you know, rules that don't allow something like xCloud or GeForce Now or Stadia or whatever on the App Store. But you can get around that by doing it in browser. And GeForce Now works fine on my phone. Can't imagine why xCloud wouldn't. And so that beta is starting on Apple products as well as Windows 10 PCs. And so being able to stream games as opposed to download games on PC, which is cool. It's not something I want to do for everything, but for something that I don't know about, I'd rather stream it and try it than download it and try it. And so you don't have as much commitment to it. It's just hard for me to imagine that's not going to be the continual push. And Microsoft obviously is 100% on the service side of this. xCloud is going to be a part of that service. Me being able to play everything on Game Pass on this guy right here is going to be a big deal.
So let me just bring this up because we haven't really talked about it. We're two massive Apple geeks. There's a ton of brand new Apple hardware out there.
Yeah.
So whatever, like you can talk about the iPhone being the state of the art thing because it is. There's newer tech in the iPhone than there is in any other Apple product. But as of last week, Apple now has a whole other line of new, you know, iMacs and laptops and various things. And so Apple's the other side of this deal because, you know, Apple's going to jump up there and be like, yeah, we want some money too. Somebody, we've been talking about Apple having a gaming platform forever, and if they were ever going to do it, it's right now.
Yeah, I'm really curious to what Apple is planning in that realm because they do have Apple Arcade, which while it's not a massive deal, it's legit great. I pay for Apple Arcade and play games off Apple Arcade all the time. I mean,
that's so you seriously pay for that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's $5 a month or whatever it is. And like just recently, there's this game from Final Fantasy creator that's super cool. It was in the show notes last time. I don't remember if we got around to talking about it. But it, you know, like stuff like that's great content that, you know, for $5 a month, I'm okay with. Now, I really would like to see them make some partnerships so that you could get like the Final Fantasy games that are on the phone but super expensive. Like I would like to see that as part of that subscription service as opposed to having to pay $15 or $20 a pop for those, which I guess isn't super expensive, but for a phone game, pretty pricey. So they definitely have room to grow there, but that can integrate with Apple TV for a streaming service or something like that. Whether or not they ever do that, I don't know. That obviously that lane is getting pretty crowded and Microsoft just has such an advantage there. To me, I don't know. This may be a bad analogy, so I'm just kind of working through it in my head. So it may totally fall apart as we're talking through it. But like the video streaming side of things, for a long time, it was like, who's going to compete with Netflix? Like Netflix just has this thing in the bag. They have partnerships with everybody. They have all their own content on and on. And now we've got a billion different streaming services where everybody's pulling their content from Netflix so they can put it on their own streaming service. And so now we've got Peacock where you go to get The Office instead of Netflix. And that was like half of what people watched on Netflix, you know. I wonder if that's going to happen with gaming in a way, and maybe not the exact same trajectory, but right now it feels like Game Pass is what Netflix was early on. That just seems like, and Game Pass has everything. Like they've got good exclusives. They don't have Sony stuff. Obviously there's stuff they're missing, but Sony doesn't have a service. Nintendo doesn't have a service that way. And so like, if you're, you know, Apple, why are you getting into that? Like you don't have that content and you might go and get partnerships with UB or EA or whatever, but Microsoft has that too. What's going to make you stand out? At some point they've got to break the kind of connection. And for Apple, to me, I think that first step is acquiring, right? Like Apple goes out and buys, you know, Square Enix or whoever. I'm just trying to throw out one that's been rumored to have interest lately. That could change things. And then suddenly Apple has a token, a chip in this whole thing that, okay, now their streaming service would have some legitimacy because they're bringing something that nobody else would have.
So think about this, okay? You have an iPhone. My parents have iPhones. My sister has iPhones. Like, out of our friend group and out of our people group, I'm the only one that has an Android, right? And I bought my parents an Apple TV, even though they have a smart TV with all the apps, because there were one or two streaming services that they wanted to use that were only available on the Apple TV. And they don't really use the Apple TV that much. And I got to be honest, I'm jealous of it, because as far as the tech goes, the Apple TV is a really nice piece of tech. Like, it does native 4K, it does all of that stuff. And so I think I wouldn't be surprised if the tech side of it for them is a new Apple TV. Because if I were going to buy one box with all the entertainment stuff, and there's already people screaming at the thing going, I have a smart TV, I don't need that. But but let me just finish the analogy. Apple TV has stuff, and they have movies sooner than anybody else, except maybe HBO Max. Like, you can get the latest stuff on Apple TV before everywhere else. And I verified that. I mean, my brother has every set-top box on the planet, but if he wants some sort of entertainment something, he goes to the Apple TV. Because they'll have it before anybody else. So I could see it as a new Apple TV and them getting into gaming that way. Not as like a here's our gaming hardware, but here's this set-top box with all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's zero chance in my mind that Apple would put out any kind of gaming-specific hardware. It would definitely be something like that. But, I mean, theoretically, you're going to be able to... Hey, there goes the webcam again. We're back. Theoretically, you could just do Game Pass on Apple TV, right? Load it up in a browser and off you go. And so it's going to be... Or xCloud, I guess, not specifically Game Pass. You get the idea. I don't know. It's a big question to see what else they could bring to the table. Because Google, I mean, it's a great example where Google has lots of content, but they just don't have anything. They have a bad model. That's part of what Stadia's problem is. But they also just don't have anything that's like, oh yeah, you got to go to Stadia to play this. Whereas Game Pass does, and it has everything else, right? It's just better service that has everything. It's better. And like Apple could have a service that has everything that's not Bethesda and Microsoft and whatever. But Game Pass is good, you know? Like it just, yeah. At some point, they've got to figure out that differentiation.
And they're not the only ones that have that problem. Amazon's got the same
100%,
problem.
100%, yeah.
Amazon's got gaming content, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Because I can get whatever content they got, like eight other places.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's a, we're not going to get to it, but in show notes, they canceled their Lord of the Rings MMO we talked about a long time ago over a licensing dispute, which, fine, whatever. But like, That was kind of what was on the radar for Amazon Gaming. They have a handful of projects, but it's just, it's not enough to get anybody to a point that you care.
You probably haven't heard this. I heard this on Thursday. I don't even know if it's real. And now knowing that they canceled that, it makes me wonder. But somebody said that they are making a Lord of the Rings TV series and spending like $400 million on it.
It's nuts. They're spending a lot of cash on that TV show. So abandoned the game. Who cares about the game at that point? There's already Lord of the Rings Online out there. Why are you making another Lord of the Rings MMO? I didn't think that from the beginning. A Lord of the Rings TV show could be legit cool. And if they're paying, spending $400 whatever million dollars on it, which is what the news was that came out, it better be darn cool.
But here's what I didn't. Here's what's mind-bending to me: that $200 of that $400 million is just paying the estate of Tolkien for the rights.
That's wild.
which is nuts.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you like to be that guy's grandkid?
That's it. On that note, talking about money, just really quickly, I'll squeeze in the CD Projekt Red stuff here, and we'll wrap up. So earnings reports from CD Projekt Red, feel bad for them as much as you want, or don't feel bad for them as much as you want, which most people are doing. They're okay. They're doing fine. So a couple of big numbers that stand out here. 13.7 million copies of Cyberpunk sold, which is a big number. Games don't sell that much. That's a big number. Of that, so of course, they did this big thing with refunds if you were unhappy with it. And that was a big thing on the Sony store. And then it got pulled from Sony store. Remember that here in a little bit from the PlayStation store, because that's going to come back. But of all of that, 30,000 people requested refunds. Me among them, by the way. I did get a refund. If my napkin math works out, that's 0.2% of copies that people got refunds on.
Yeah, just they nothing. Lost no money.
Big refund push. Hey, if you're unhappy, it got them some good PR to say, hey, we're working to help you out here. If you weren't happy with the product, we want to make sure everybody's happy with the product. We talked about that, on this show. Everybody else talked about the fact that they were doing refunds. And it was a good call. It was exactly what they needed to do. And almost nobody took them up on it. And so they lost no money off of it. They spent money marketing it. But they didn't lose that much of their profit. So that's one thing, just a couple of numbers, the nuts of 13.7 million copies, how few of those were refunds. But a couple others, there's this whole PowerPoint. I just love a good looking PowerPoint. This is a good looking PowerPoint. There's this whole PowerPoint you can find in the show notes that they showed. A couple of the graphs that stood out to me. Of units sold by distribution type, meaning physical or digital, three quarters of the sales were digital, which maybe it's shocking that 25% or so were still physical sales. But three quarters of the sales of almost 14 million copies sold game were digital sales.
There's a lot of old guys still out there.
Yeah.
And that's what that is.
But that number is shrinking. And I think that's pretty telling of where the industry is going, that number is getting smaller and smaller. The other one I'll point out is by platform. So PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, 56% on PC, which was a bigger number than I anticipated. I thought it'd be, maybe 50-50 PC console, over 50% on PC. 28% on PlayStation, 17% on Xbox, which is already kind of a bad look for Xbox because Xbox did a lot of marketing with Cyberpunk. But it's an even worse look if you consider the fact that Sony removed Cyberpunk from the PlayStation store after a couple of weeks. And it's still, to my knowledge, not on the PlayStation store. You can't go buy Cyberpunk. And so that 28% of sales versus 17% on the Xbox all happened in the beginning. You could still go buy Cyberpunk on the Xbox store. It's wild to me that it outsold that much on PlayStation versus Xbox.
So we don't have time to talk about this, but I'm going to try it anyway. Because we're about 30 seconds away from a little girl, yep. And I realized that. But because of what you just said, I'm going to buy an Xbox if I can find an Xbox, but that's still not the console I want. Game Pass is fantastic. It's wonderful, but what Game Pass makes the Xbox is that extra box that everybody has in their house, because that's how you get Game Pass.
Yes.
And they're probably fine with that. But it's not the console I have to have.
Yes.
I'm looking at the PlayStation 5 going, I can't hold the controller, but I don't care. Can I get an adapter, please?
Yeah.
I don't know that that's necessarily a good look. I don't think they care, because we just spent 45 minutes talking about how they care about the server side of it. But they really are. They're turning into that extra box that everybody's got over in the corner because it's got Game Pass on it.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. 100%. And it's I don't know. It's what the industry is going to be. It like there is this segmenting that it feels like it's just coming together and kind of making sense. And you know, like Sony has its niche, Microsoft has its niche, which is pretty massive with Game Pass, but still is a specific thing. Sony has its thing, PC gaming is its thing, and we can all coexist and be happy together. And you know, that's great. I'm perfectly happy with that world of gaming.
And the crazy thing about PC gaming is it needs something else to drive it, because the thing about Cyberpunk being broke is that because it's broke, there's not really anything driving PC gaming at this point. I'm on a 5-year-old rig that will play everything I want to play except Control and Cyberpunk. Yeah. That's it.
And it'll play those fine. It just won't play them at the max settings.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's to me. I mean, I still want a new PC, but I told you about it. I don't know if you've tried it, but I moved my documents folder to a mechanical drive. And like my PC is so fast at this point, it's stupid.
Yeah.
I can't understand why that matters. It should be slower, but it's not.
Yeah.
And little tweaks like that. Like, I don't need a new PC at this point.
Yeah.
And there is my favorite little person.
Can you say hi to Jamie?
With a pretty bow. How are you?
Do you have a pretty bow?
I love that bow. And I love your hair.
Do you remember that it was Jamie's birthday? Mm-hmm. Could you sing him happy birthday?
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Well, thank you, babe.
It's not my birthday.
It's not your birthday.
Nah, not my birthday.
Can you sing happy birthday to Jamie?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I
love
it to Jamie. I love it to you.
I love it.
That's fast.
That was fast.
Somebody put some beats to that. That's a segment right there. That's what that is. I love your hair.
Can you say thank you?
Thank you.
I wish I could make my hair do that and look cool. My hair wouldn't look like that if I did that.
Yeah, that's
what are you doing today?
Oh, no.
No.
What are you doing today?
No.
Say that would be cultural appropriation.
That would be cultural appropriation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You sound just like your mama.
Are you your mama's daughter?
No.
Yes. Yes. You definitely are.
You might be your mama's daughter, just a little bit.
Yes.
You're daddy's girl.
That's a camera that you take pictures.
Yeah, that's a camera we took pictures. Now we're taking video.
She is definitely daddy's girl. That I know.
Yeah. Oh, don't touch
it. I know that for a fact. I
get fingerprints all over the lens.
All right, little girl, do you know how to finish this thing out? It's time to finish up. Are you ready?
Go by GamingUncensored.com. Lots of show notes we didn't get to.
And Twitter and all that good stuff. Twitter's funny. All right, do you know how to wrap this thing up, little girl?
What do you say? No, don't spit at the camera.
Say, we're Gaming Uncensored, and we're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.